So if you have a bulletin, you'll look right in the front cover, and you'll see a scripture verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Interesting. And here's what it says. I'll read it out of the Amplified Version, if that's all right with you. It's interesting because as we go on today, we'll find out a little bit more about Paul. For if we are in Christ, that's key. If we are in Christ, you and I must know who we are in Christ. I'll be preaching after Easter about who we are in Christ. A lot of folks don't know. But once you find out, you got to tell people, this is who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory to God. So listen to what it says. For if we are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Now stop right there for a minute. Paul at one time called himself the chief of sinners. Paul had a very difficult time fitting in to the early church. Okay? Listen to what I found. My wife and I were having devotions, and I said, hold on, I got to look something up. The word love in the King James Version is in there 714 times. Faith is only in there 336. And that's a difference of 378 times. Because, listen, when we get to, in a minute, we get to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. You and I have to understand that disobedience will take us out of God's plan. In the book of Acts, when Jesus told the early church, go wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost. And how many of them went to the upper room? How many of you remember that? 120. And there was over 500 there. So a whole bunch of them didn't bother to show up. And they waited on for the Holy Ghost to show up. Listen. And they got tired of waiting. You ever get tired of waiting on an answer from God? And what happens then? We do something else. Waiting is critical in your life, in my life, in the natural, and more so even in the spirit realm. So they decided to draw straws and find out who would replace who? Judas. Because they were short one. Did Jesus Christ tell them to do that? He said, wait, go tarry for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, by them making a decision to have straws drawn and pick who would take his place, it fell on a man by the name of Matthias. Can't find him anywhere again. But that held Paul up more ways than one. He battled being accepted by the early church. And he had to learn how to love when he wasn't accepted. That's why you find out love is more than faith. But the Bible says without faith, you can't please God. But if faith is not motivated by love, faith will fall flat on its face. Hold on a second. The Holy Ghost just said this. It has nothing to do with anything, but it must be something to do with something. There's somebody here who's been running from God in your heart, totally disobedient to what he wants you to do. One thing I like about Harvest Church, it's got a big altar. We did that for a reason. And if you may be that person or more than one person while I'm preaching, I want you to come to the altar and talk to God and tell him that you're sorry in your heart from running away from him and his purpose. When you run from God, you're miserable. Because we're spirit beings. Amen. Stop running from him. I've experienced that in my lifetime where I ran from God on a number of occasions. And it wasn't until I came back to where he was waiting for me did things begin to happen. So these altars are open. Anytime you want to come up during the time we have together around the Word of God, get it straight with God. Don't let your wheels spin and not go anywhere. I grew up in an age where there's no such thing as front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. All it was rear-wheel, no four-wheel. And when a car got stuck, the wheels would just spin. Don't let your wheels spiritually spin because you can't figure it out. Listen to me. God can't figure us out. It's so simple to be obedient rather than disobedient. This, the word this means going the opposite direction of what you're supposed to do. I don't know why the interruption, but I did it anyway. Fair enough. So Galatians chapter 6. It counts for anything but only faith activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Hallelujah. That's it. What kind of love are we talking about, Pastor? We're talking about agape love. Say agape love. Couple of translations, if you don't mind, of that verse, the Living Bible. For all we need is faith working through love. The NIV, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I like Moffat's translation, but only faith active in love. In the Amplified, let me read it again. But only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Love is a key part of our walk with God, especially when it comes to faith. Say it's a very important part. Now go over here if we don't mind. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. Now last week we started giving you some of the things Jesus talked about in the 25th verse all the way through the end of the chapter through verse 34. Six times he mentions this. Take no thought. Take no thought. The word thought actually in the Greek language means worry and anxiety. Remember when Jesus said we're going to go to the other side to his disciples? The disciples, in the midst of the storm, forgot what Jesus said. What was Jesus doing during the storm? That's what we should be doing during our storms. Because the word has already spoke to us. Take no thought. Can I say it this way? If we would only listen to him. That's why the altars are open. And because they didn't, they became frightened, full of fear. Now these fishermen, they didn't fish on a lake that was small. They fished in the midst of all kinds of obstacles. But this storm, for some reason, frightened them to their core. Because it wasn't like any other ordinary storm. It was a storm that Satan had purposed to destroy Jesus and to destroy the disciples. Because if he could shut Jesus up and the disciples up, he could be still running his kingdom. But Jesus was led by his Father. And when you're led by God and the Holy Ghost, you can't miss. I never make a move in my life about anything unless I have the peace of God. It looks great, but the Holy Ghost knows the future. And what looks great today may not be there tomorrow. No peace. No move. You're sitting in the sanctuary and property that came because there were other things that came along that were good choices, but it's not what God wanted. This whole thing happened through a lot of adversity when there was no money and God brought people forward and stepped up and began to do certain things. And then it began to open up and happen. And then when our contractor stole money from us in the bank and we couldn't go any farther in December with no windows in and sheetrock starting to be put in, I knew we were in big trouble. But guess what I did? How many of you would like to know? I remember one preacher said, his wife said, we need to pray about this. He said, oh, it came to that? Well, that's what it came to. We better pray. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. We had no money. The bank shut off all sources of money, and there wasn't enough money to go out and buy lunch. What do you do? Remember the message out of Chronicles? When you don't know what to do, why not go to the person who's never failed us? Why not go to the person of Christ who gave everything for us and is still doing that? And I'll never forget, it was a Sunday afternoon. My brother-in-law, Paul, from Boston, calls up. And he goes, Paul, this is just after I told the congregation we had no money. Isn't that great? He said, are you sitting down? He said, oh, God, Paul, what now? He said, well, you're our sister church. I looked at my wife, we are? I didn't know that. He's in Boston. And he said, the Lord instructed me to take, this is in December now, an offering for you as a church. I said, I'm happy to be your sister church. Hang on now. How much did they collect on? $36,000+. It came out to be more as time went on. $36,000. Listen now, we were able to continue. The bank got upset with us because said, where did you get your money from? I said, it's none of your business. And the project got finished. You're sitting in a project that got finished when it had no money. In the midst, I'm not supposed to be preaching this. In the midst of the storm, you and I must remember what the word says and then begin to speak it out of our mouth. Well, Pastor, what if nothing changes? It changed at Calvary. It changed when he said, it's finished. When he said it was finished, the graveyard's emptied. So the dead people, it was finished. Not for God, it's not. Because he'll raise the dead. You don't mind if I go somewhere, do you? Go over to Revelation. Boy, I'm having fun today. I may have to finish preaching this next week. It's the second chapter. And look at verse 4. This is Jesus talking to the church. Listen, look at the third verse. That's why I got the third one. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. We're going to tie it to number 4 now. Listen, but I have one thing against you. It sounds like they're doing a pretty good job, but there's something missing. One charge to make against you, that you have left and abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Wow. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. When you and I lose our daily awareness of who Jesus is in us, then we fail God. My life and my core values in my life are based on one thing, the word of God, because somebody gave their life for me to live the life I'm living. His name was Jesus, and it's not going to change. Say, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. Jesus loves me. No greater love hath any man than he lay his life down for somebody. Did Jesus do that?
Yes.
What's he doing today? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and I on planet Earth. When bad news comes, when trouble comes, difficulties comes, nothing changes God or his promises or the direction the word will give you and I. All things work together. That's good and bad stuff going on. Ever have some bad stuff happen to you? And it's like you're in a long, dark tunnel. And then you look back over a period of time and you realize God was in that tunnel with you and with my God. Hallelujah. So these disciples had to bother to wake Jesus up. Wouldn't it be nice if one of them told the other ones, don't wake him up. He said we're going to the other side, didn't he? He spends time every morning with the Father, hearing a plan for that day for us as well as him. Hallelujah. Leave him alone. Amen. I hear some people say, I was going to pray, it was late at night, 2 or 3 in the morning, but didn't bother to bother God. He's a spirit. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have an alarm clock of any kind. Come on. He's a spirit. Hallelujah. Can I give you a good testimony? I really worked hard on my driving this week. I made all 6 days this week with no problems. And on the seventh day, I rested. It's easy for us to slip out of our daily awareness with God. All of us, the preacher too. It's simple to do. But if we ask the Holy Spirit to check us, how many of you go to the gym first thing in the morning? First thing in the morning, some people head to the gym. Got to have my cup of coffee. Got to do whatever you have to do. The first and most important thing for you and I in our life is the word. When Jesus said, "You man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I never want to anymore. That's why I stopped in this verse God gave me. Never want to lose my daily awareness of who he is in my life. He is life. Amen? How many of you got something from that? It was just, all right, that's good. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 now. Sixth. And in this little portion of scripture, the sixth chapter, 25 through 34, he mentions, take no thought, 6 or 7 times. That literally means, stop being anxious. Stop being full of anxiety. Another way I can put it is, start trusting me. Stop ignoring me. What happens is, we have a tendency as human beings to get into reason. Romans puts it this way in the Amplified. Sense and reason without the Holy Ghost is death. Sense and reason with the Holy Ghost is life. Let me think now which one I should choose. It's easy. We've got to live in unbroken fellowship on a daily basis with the precious word of God. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. There has never been a saturation on this planet of the word of God as we have today. There is no excuse. No excuse to have the word of God choked out of us because there are so many ways to get the word of God inside of us. That's just a little something extra. Do you know that this property, builder after builder, turned it down? Did I ever tell you that? They turned it down because there wasn't enough room to put more houses in because the lady who owned the house up front wouldn't sell the house, just the land. And then along comes Harvest Church. And she sold it to us. And then one day she sold us her house with 2.5 acres. Now we own 18 acres. Off the interstate that had no exit. You know why it's called 8A? The Lord just told me. All things are possible to those that believe. 20 years they talked about building an exit. The man about two or three houses down took all of his trees down. He thought they'd buy the dirt off of his property to fill in. They didn't. 20 years they talked. We signed the contract for the land. Within 1 year they began construction. Come on. Come on. I said, come on. The only reason we stopped on this project was what the contractor did. But the other one was there was a nest in the trees. And I wouldn't let him take the trees down with the nest and kill the birds. I shut everything down. But Rev, it's costing us money. You're not going anywhere till those birds fly out. Stop being anxious. Say it out loud. Stop being anxious. I'm going to put some of these back up. Can I do a little review? And then I want to show you something that'll just bless your heart. Amen. This is out of Dake's Reference Bible, if you want to know. I didn't come up with these. Dake's Reference Bible. Look what some of them are. This is what worry and anxiety will do. Sinful and produces fear. It's sinful. I thought I was a sinner saved by grace. You are. But you can live a life and not be doing things God's way. And that, anybody familiar with fear? Anybody familiar with fear, I said? We can rather go too far back. Think of that one. Go ahead. A disease causing other ills. Fear will produce those kinds of things in you. And when they get all done testing, no, it's just anxious. Trust God. Give me another one. Borrowing trouble that can't be paid back. How many of you got something going on right now? You know, I'm thinking of you guys, you're building a house. What a great opportunity to be full of anxiety and pressure and everything else. We have a date. No, we don't. This didn't come in. Okay. Well, that's the wrong color. Am I right? But you two guys have the word on the inside of you. And maybe they put the wrong color fridge in is because God wanted you to witness to the guys who brought the fridge that was wrong. All things work together for good. Amen. All right, look at the next one. Creating trouble, misery, and death. A burden borrowed from tomorrow. Weight that kills prematurely. Pressure. Paying bills. A gravedigger that has no sympathy. Strife will kill anybody. I don't care how good your shape is or anything else. Strife is destructive. Don't let it happen to you. Jesus said, take no thought. All right, give me another one. Needless, waste time and effort that should be spent on worthwhile things. Boy, does that fit. That's the right size shoe, coach. Am I right? All of us experience this. We don't have to. What we need to do is dig into the Word of God. And Jesus, listen, this is before he went to the cross, saying, I got you covered. I just said, I got you covered. All the promises are yay and amen. They're already done. He's promised he'll take care of it. Even if you and I make a bad decision and it creates all kinds of strife and anxiety and fear. Are you ready? Say, God, forgive me. And he'll turn that thing around. Amen. I've had to do that many times. Give me another one. A robber of faith, peace, and trust in a never-failing heavenly Father. Do you see that? These kinds of things, anxiety and fear, is trying to attack your trust or faith in God. Because then along comes the enemy. Well, see, the word didn't work again. It works all the time, every time. A stumbling block for others. We proclaim to be born again, spirit-filled people. We love God. We pray. And they look at our life and what's going on in our life. And they go, I don't want none of that. Anxiety over what is nothing today and less tomorrow in view of faith. And how does faith operate? True love. Go ahead. Is there any more? Anticipating troubles which seldom come to those who serve God. People biting their lips and turning red like tomatoes. Pastor, you're reading my mail. I'm reading my mail before you're reading your mail. Paul just said over here, it operates and you need love to have faith operate. He was challenged by the early church. Torment over something that will likely be a blessing if it comes. I'm not having a misery party. I'm not having a pity party. I'm just having a party and celebrate the name of Jesus. Living like an orphan without a heavenly father. Didn't Jesus say, I'm sending the comforter? He won't leave you like an orphan. I think he's got us covered. I said, I think he's got us covered. That's before Calvary. He had ownership of something that the enemy stole. Foolish for whatever is going to happen cannot be stopped by worry. And if it doesn't happen, there's nothing to worry about. Should adversities actually come, one may still be victorious by trusting God. Come on, you can do much better than that. Now listen, the word trust and faith are interchangeable. In the Old Testament, you'll find the word trust. It's faith. If I wore a police uniform up here right now, it'd look like I'm a police officer. But I'm not. The enemy goes around parading himself as something he's not. Remember often when everybody understands this. They asked Jesus, when are you coming back? His first words out of his mouth are this: don't be deceived. The greatest tool the enemy has is deception through the use of lies. What was he saying? When he comes around, you better know the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. Unexplained tragedies happen. God will see you through every one of them. When I've gone through difficult times, I feel like I'm Teflon. Can I say that? I literally feel like I'm Teflon. Things just slide right off of me. Listen to what this says. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. Since then, since his defeat, the state of the enemy is that he is defeated, dethroned, destroyed, and disarmed. Does that sound like somebody who's going to give you and I a problem? Not if you know the word. Now, I went and looked up some of these words. Defeat means having been beaten in a battle. Having been, past tense. Give me the next one. Dethrone means to remove from a throne or a place of power. Whatever the enemy had before Jesus showed up, he stole. Always remember when Jesus in the wilderness, what did the enemy come along and do? He used the word. All that he had available to him, he used the word of God. And he's talking to the word of God. And he couldn't say it right. He had to lie about the scripture because he couldn't talk like Jesus. Nobody can talk like Jesus, but you and I sure can. Hallelujah. Do the next one for me. Destroyed, past tense. Put an end to the existence of something by damaging or attacking it to ruin. Yes, Lord. Disarmed. Take weapons away from a person, force, or country. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm really free. Turn to your neighbor and say, really, really, really free. When I talk about love the way I've been talking about it, and I often mention when Jesus looked down from the cross of Calvary, he did something. He said, forgive them, Father. He said, forgive them, Father. Now listen to what that word forgive actually means, if you don't mind. It literally means this. I was so surprised. Forgive means from an act they have carried out, they are forgiven and released, and no longer will they be count accountable for it. So when Jesus said you are forgiven, say forgiven. Let me give you a couple of the R's. I like the R's. It means to release somebody. Love, which can operate through faith, won't operate properly unless we have learned how to forgive everybody. See, our love could stumble the same way faith stumbles. Faith stumbles if it doesn't have faith, doesn't have love, God's love, but love can stumble if we're not forgiving everything and everybody. When Jesus said forgive, listen, he hadn't died yet. He was a human being, and he was able to say from his mouth, forgive them. You and I can never come to a place where we can say, I can't forgive them. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Amen. Now listen. Forgiving is not an emotion. It's a decision. You and I have no choice but to forgive. Because if not, love won't work the way it's supposed to, God's love, and that will cause us to stumble in faith. Well, anyway, I'm going to move along. Fair enough. Say to release somebody, just like releasing a prisoner and setting someone free and liberating them from the consequences of what they have done. Say hallelujah. Now, I want you to go over another scripture. Go over to Ephesians 3:17 of Ephesians. Look. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Whew. Remember the Bible says he dwells where? He lives. He's a permanent residence in our life. Permanent. Wherever you go, he goes. Now look at this for a moment. Please look. That's an actual tree. It's actually called the shepherd's tree. It's also called the tree of life. It offers shelter and nourishment for both humans and animals. When Jesus Christ, the Word, comes in us and gets grounded and rooted on the inside of us, we can find protection because he's our shepherd. He's the tree of life on the inside of us. Now, if we have that in us, other people can come around us. Because the tree of life lives in us. And we can offer them shade in the midst of a storm. We can offer them food and put them up for the night if we have to. Weeping willow trees, they're dangerous because their roots are always on the system. Oak trees, when the storm, the oak root goes down. The roots on this tree go 233 feet into the ground. Hang on. And that's in the desert. Well, I feel like I'm in a dry spot. Don't worry about it. Get under the tree. Get under the shepherd. He's gone so deep, he's hit 3 or 4 different wells. They're going to build a development around that tree because Jesus found water. Will you and I face difficult times? Uh-huh. When Paul said perilous times? Uh-huh. How many of you know we're having some of those? You think they'll disappear tomorrow? They'll all disappear when Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. And everybody will hear the trumpet blast. I think they're tuning up right now. What am I saying to you? I'm saying when Jesus Christ, who takes permanent residence on the inside of us, is grounded, his root system goes deep. What Jesus was saying in 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel, you take no thought, don't be full of anxiety, don't be full of fear. No need to. Say no need to. Well, where's the problem? How many of you got an index finger? I end with this. I heard a preacher talking and all of a sudden it just dropped into my heart. Israel refused, so most of them did. Only 2 came back with a good report. Remember that? And what did they say? It's a land full of, well, yeah, I know, well, the other stuff. Milk and honey. Who cares about the giants? What's a giant? Say milk and honey. 2 came back with a good report. The other 10 came back with what? Did God take care of Israel in the wilderness? Shoes didn't wear out. Remember the manna? Every day, except the one day, there was enough for 2 days. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me loud and clear. I want you to hear me. Going to help you. Israel, because of their disobedience, God gave them manna when they could have had milk and honey. He supplied their need every day when they could have had milk and honey. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me, boy, loud and clear. There's no need for you to live on a paycheck to paycheck. There's no need for you to live from paycheck to paycheck. No need for you to live from paycheck to paycheck. No need to. The word says, you want manna? That's cool. I'll help you out. But you could also have a land full of milk and honey. where your money's working for you instead of you working for your money. Come on. Don't settle for where you are. No need to. When you decide and I decide to take God's word at face value, his promises are yea and amen, amen. Everything goes down. Amen. The drain. Down the sewer pipe. Hallelujah. Done. I've given you so much this morning. I hope you're thinking and the word, the Holy Ghost just attacks the word on the inside of you. There's no need to be on manna. There's no need for worry and stress. Do you know why we, I got to quit here. Do you know why we get stuck in worry and anxiety? Is because we talk more about the giant than we do about the giant killer, the word. If you've been watching our program this morning, I want you to know we have one thing at Harvest Church. It's love. We've learned to understand and know that Jesus loves us. He gave his life for us at Calvary. And since that point, my life has been changed. Those who are here at Harvest Church realize when they ask Jesus Christ into their life, asked him to forgive their sins, something supernatural came about. It's powerful. It's all in the Bible. It's all in this book we've been preaching from. And if you'd like to receive Christ into your life, to forgive you of your sins, those are things you and I can't do anything with, but he's already dealt with it. Let's stand, Harvest Church, and join me in a prayer for audience. Say this, neighbor, if you don't mind, mom, dad, grandma, kids, doesn't matter. Jesus, today, from hearing the preacher preach out of the Bible, I realize I need help. I realize my sins are keeping me back. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse my heart. I receive the fact that you've gone to Calvary. Shed your blood for you and I'm you and I. It's gone. The Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness of sin. He's done that for you. So you've said this prayer. Find yourself a good church where the pastors are preaching the word of God. Get in there. Put your arms and legs and dig in. Help that church out, would you? God bless you. Hope to see you again sometime.